And you got DJ Hero, and you've got your 4,200 Microsoft points.
Not yet.
Not yet.
And £50 off an experience.
Yes, exactly.
Interesting.
And maybe we'll talk about that some more next week. Thank you very much for listening.
Thank you.
We will be back next week, or at least these two will be. I won't be.
Bring it on.
Please come to our Christmas party,
December 18th, which is going to be amazing.
December the 18th, book now. We will see you there.
Dad, are you going to come?
I will.
That's awesome.
Brilliant.
Thanks for coming.
Bye.
For the last, that was the programme that comes after mine, bursting in there, so I was taken aback. This is Ben Watson, and it's 2 o'clock on Resonance FM, so here's a late lunch without a lunch. And I was going to say, for the last hour, you've been listening to One Life Left, the computer games programme. And I have Mordecai sitting on my knee, who's playing spoons. We have an episode called Ongoing Knee Onion, wherein we shall explore the heinous vegetable core of the meat experience, otherwise known as listening, as well as monstrous growths on the physical body which flourish like meat rose cabbages under our horrified eye. His ankle bone just grew and grew beyond the calibration of shoe width. Luckily enough, since these themes were suggested by materials which have been shuffling around the late lunch mixing desk over the last few days, this programme is simply replete with pertinent stuff, stiff folds around the neckerchief sewn into the brocade coat of your listening pleasure. Namely, and these are some of the materials I'm going to use, Act 7 of Ken Fox's Scandella of Wascana, Mordecai and Out to Lunch in an earlier session, making primitive attempts at dialogue over a bed of Dumitrescu. No, don't bring down that, otherwise they can't hear us, Mordecai. And some Ace Tracks by Sun Ra, Hank Williams and Frank Zappa. Out here in the put-out-to-pasture zone of free radio, we undermine all editorial authority and trust only to the courage and creativity of you, the listener. We are the opposite of Bruce Davies, abject consumer who wrote into Wire magazine this month extolling the wealth and variety of material that the noise genre had to offer. The releases, I quote, documenting this stuff just seem to keep coming. Art being some huge holy event like God or something to which label owners and critic priests give us grudging access. Whereas actually, every release is simply a commodity whose use value deserves merciless criticism from the point of view of our own pressing needs. Now, we would welcome noise as a commercial genre if it provided an opportunity to get more listeners with true noisemakers like Alan Wilkinson or Stefan Yavortsin, musicians capable of inserting the push-pull of Little Richard into every note they play. But the noise genre is now just a name for a boring rock feedback drone without the tension and release which made rock and roll effective in the first place. Like minimalism in classical music, the noise genre so effectively cancels what is motivating and amusing about music, it leaves the listener prey to folk, which is obviously the most boring and restrictive music on the planet. From Neil Young to Stephen Stills is not such a leap after all. They've even managed to sell Shirley Collins to Ian Sinclair, a match tailor-made for Radio 4, and guaranteed to bore the pants off neo-vorticists everywhere. As organised religion has long known, boredom is the great technique for vanquishing the critical spirit. Don't you think, Mordecai? If you can get people to sit together in uncommunicative isolation and believe it's sublime, then they're up for any bullshit, spiritual, economic or political, you can serve up to them. Once music has been disconnected from the collective libido of mass media communication, the ugly presentness of our times, staring at us from every screen now, the only way it can relate to history is via myth, hence folk music's chronic weakness for nationalism and fascism. But back to noise, the holy genre where any sound is tolerated except that of critical intelligence. The idea of only ever listening to a short list of trendy names tagged to a genre predicated on a joke released by Lou Reed is actually quite funny, although I've noticed that metal machine music heads rarely laugh. What is it you want in the corner there? Ah, that. It must be the drugs. I mean, that's why they don't laugh. So at Late Lunch, we fight back by bringing you music which makes you sit up and listen, maybe even Preska smile, although it's not making you smile. Look, I've nearly finished. I know you don't like discourse. And we like the twang of strings being bent too. Talking of which, come on, let's have the Late Lunch theme tune. Now, will you press that button there, please, Mordecai? Hooray! We're off. Can we have some more spoons, please, from you? Yes. You know, I can't do this stuff when you're not here. I have to do silence. Spoons, please. Hello, you're listening to Late Lunch Without a Lunch with me, Ben Watson, an episode called Ongoing Knee Onion. Or, for the more literate among you, Bunyan's Progress. Ongoing Knee Onion is my image for the chronic discomfort caused by the fact that pertinent art must be based on contemporary modes of communication, but we're in a period when all such modes are trained and styled and groomed to do something completely different, which is to make money for investors of capital and give exposure and livelihoods to conformists, jobworths and uncreatives. Thoughts prompted by the publication of Noise and Capitalism, a collection edited by Anthony Isles and Matin and published by Critica. This book has been a long time coming. My contribution was aired here at Resonance in May 2007, which gives some weight to Marshall McLuhan's points about the redundancy of print culture compared to electronic media. Though maybe he reckoned without the trials and tribulations visited on the critical spirit by shoestring budgets. Back in 2007, I also had to double up radio and childcare, and the conclusion of my essay was sabotaged by a tantrum from Iris, then age two. So concerned Late Lunch listeners might like to track down the book. Ah, the Somerstown Seagulls, giving away the fact that this is a pre-record and I'm not actually in the studio. I've also noticed that because it's in printed form rather than transmitted via the electronic ether, my essay has actually been noticed by those whose livelihoods depend on establishing the authorised version of modern music. When it comes to noise, at Late Lunch we trust that every listener has the wit to make their own. What we play on this show is music. In fact, deciding what is music and what is not, deciding what's worthy of your global attention at this very instant, which usually means deciding not to buy what music magazines are pushing this month, is the very name of the game, and perhaps the only thing that makes it great to be alive, folks. Come to think of it, King Great to be Alive is the ruling monarch here at Late Lunch Without Lunch. Twin brother, of course, to Old King Cole. He's as fond of his pipe and bowl as the next man. Which brings us naturally, rapidly and mellifluously, like the tinkling sound of a dwindling Peter Brook, to Nat King Cole and the wonder of his voice and pianism, and the nuggets of homespun philosophy embedded in American popular song. Of course, dimwits who define themselves according to commercial niche markets and commit to noise as a genre will run a mile from Nat King Cole, where pipe and bowl often became pipe and slippers. But as against the postmodern sales jive, which tells you that before the advent of Sonic Youth, all pop music was reactionary chauvinism, listen to It's Only a Paper Moon. It turns out to be a devastating statement of sexual materialism, prophetically diagnosing the postmodern simulacrum as a case of blocked orgasm. For the human being, only sexual love makes it real. Thank you.
over a cardboard sea. But it wouldn't be make-believe if you believe in me. It is only a canvas sky sailing over a muslin tree. But it wouldn't be make-believe if you believe in me. Without your love, it's a honky-tonk parade. Without your love, it's a melody played on a penny arcade. It's a Barnum and Bailey world, just as phony as it can be. But it wouldn't be make-believe if you believe in me. It's a honky-tonk parade. Without your love, it's a melody played on a penny arcade. It's a Barnum and Bailey world, just as phony as it can be. But it wouldn't be make-believe if you believe in me. Thank you.
Sun Ra and The Mystery of Two with trumpet by Akhtal Ibar, otherwise known as Doug Williams, from Crystals, an album Ra recorded for Impulse Records in 1973, but which languished in the vaults until Evidence released it in 2000 as part of their two CD set, The Great Lost Sun Ra Albums. Before that, the Nat King Cole Trio from 1954 and It's Only a Paper Moon, written in 1933 for a Broadway musical, with music by Harold Arlen and lyrics by E.Y. Harburg and Billy Rose. And that was the original engineer, by the way, not me, starting to fade the recording before Nat Cole's final piano flourishes and then going back on his decision. The musical virtuosity of acts like the Nat King Cole Trio, where keys are changed as easily as the expression on someone's face, simply begged the artistic license of bebop. Talking of artistic license, here's Mordecai and Out to Lunch in overdub, occasionally taking dips in a bath of sound created by Yanko Dumitrescu, taking inspiration from the fact that here's a composer who's finally transcended any distinction one can make between natural and composed sound, and preparing your ear for the complete contrast of Klakto Wiedsetstein by Charlie Parker.
Bye. Thank you.
Charlie Parker and Klakto Wiedsteen, a song title which puzzled his producer Ross Russell when he gave it to him. Parker gave him a stony stare when he asked for an explanation, but Klakto Wiedsteen sounds like Finnegan's Wake to us, an onomatopoeic response to the multilingual babble of the modern metropolis. Steen, or was that Stein, said Klakto V, and we'd better believe it. Modern art means moving through structures you don't understand, but you have to navigate anyways. Oh, you banged your head just now, didn't you? That was bad, very bad. And I just have to announce something as well. Before that, Out to Lunch and Mordecai in slightly happier mood last Wednesday morning with occasional recourse to music by Yanko Dunichowski. What is it you want? Well, I think we better go straight on to the next track without reading my script. From rambling man to stumbling man, how boasts of fixity come a cropper in this cruel world.
I can settle down and be doing just fine till I hear an old freight rolling down the line. Then I hurry straight home and pack. And if I didn't go, I believe I'd blow my stack. I love you, baby, but you gotta understand, when the Lord made me, he made a rambling man. Some folks might say that I'm no good, that I wouldn't settle down if I could. But when that open road starts to call in me, there's something over the hill that I gotta see. Sometimes it's hard, but you gotta understand, when the Lord made me, he made a rambling man. I love to see the towns a-passing by, and to ride these rails beneath God's blue sky. Let me travel this land from the mountains to the sea, 'cause that's the life I believe he meant for me. And when I'm gone and at my grave you stand, just say God's called home, you rambling man.
This is a story telling quick as I can. A week ago I met a stumbling man. Stumbled up, he said, all I wanna know, how far the skies arose. Beg his pardon, should've turned and ran. So I stop.
A rehearsal of the song Kaiser Rolls, included on FZOZ, a posthumous Frank Zappa release put out by the Frank Zappa Family Trust, with Napoleon Murphy Brock on vocals, Frank on guitar, Roy Estrada on bass, and Terry Bozzio on drums, and Cancer Throat. Before that, Ramblin' Man by Hank Williams in 1951. Both songs about what to do with the undefined, the unmediated, the real. One strategy is simply to enjoy it. Hank Williams' falsetto is high art, the break in his voice a mighty chasm through which piled the whole dodgy legion we call country music. But trained voices in some church, far away from in-tune pianos and concert protocol, unleash them on something you know about, and you'll always get something that's a joy to hear. Take Ruby and Cassie, the duo which recorded Heartaches, Heartaches for King Records in the early 60s. Mordecai, don't slam the lid of the record player because it makes the needle jump. Don't slam it. Just close it carefully like that. Oh, you're slamming it. Sorry about this, folks. Seven, convicting confection forged nightly. I, Omaniga Scandella of Monterreal and lately of Wascana, am baptised in mud, am a model of obedience to my muttering drum. Morning, noon and night I cross the fleshling signs, ingesting signal lights into my holy of hearts, reciting submissions to all my masters and eating my dirt with due custom courtesy. I do confess the words I read I did believe but no longer do. Am worm-eaten, am corrupted by math and maps, am abnormally sequestered in spectacular oblivion. My opinion is but a many-peeling onion open to the influx of your manifold economic reason. Please rope me with need or raid me with needles, as I thought I believe falsely in these things. Call me Daniel, call me Joseph. Cast out, am fallen, am ninefold under the spell of your voluminous drum. I come willing with manic resolution. Your dream of drilling into mountains of pulp, of sinking your tubes into pools of black ink, it means. But again, my blood, the worm, the intensity, strength of the drink, I can't think, forgive me. Glass of meat and towers full of wheat and manifold increase to everything inflammable. The bounty of your landfill will grow to seed the centre of the world. I see a vast cake in your uranium mines, a great yoke of ore at the entrance of your egg. Rabid expulsions in poultry potash. Beware barley, a nesting place for sky plagues. There are four reasons for my forgery, 14 for my fortune and 44 for my forced exhalation. Allow me to cross streams at the Oxford, at the South Shore campus, allow me to draw water. First, this confession. The root of my guilt as yield is phonologically inadmissible, apparently sensual plausibility vanishing upon examination, and though I render debt for collection, there is no evidence of validity in the transaction. Second, to have my pen drained of this hideous ink. Third, the worm, it lives inside me, breeding. It drives me into the forbidden pulp mountains and moves me to commit many vile acts of forgery, including this first of 14 trials, but many others also. Its death will be my freedom. Fourth, my report to be freed into the east basin of Wascana Lake, into its ever-deepening deposition, there to dissolve and become one with the mud of ancestral rubbish, in time passing to the west basin and crossing Albert Street Bridge into the creek, and travel its northwesterly pass to Lumsden, and there drain into Capel River, fast flowing east through the Blessed Valley and accumulating copies calling to and fro through Katepwe Mission, past the fort, who calls, beloved Echo and Pasqua, and on into Manitoba and the meandering Assiniboine, as hot stones dropped in water that winds serpentine around the asphaltic Trans-Canada into historic Winnipeg, past Wolseley and West Broadway and the Forks, and empties into the mighty and vengeful Red, flowing northward out of the flat, fertile floodplain of ancient glacial Agassiz, and into Lake Winnipeg at its gaping mouth spreading into the vast deltaic wetland of Netley Marsh and Rupert's Land, there to spend 1,000 years achieving greater reaches of dissolution, and at last flowing electric into the Nelson, many-harnessed ox or many-uttered cow of many-headed Manitoba Hydra, feeding trickles of power across an expansive American grid, across the pre-Cambrian shield and onto the enormous brackish shallows of Hudson's Bay at the ghostly Port Nelson north of York Factory, at last reaching the Atlantic and achieving utter dispersion. In this way I hope to enhance your longitudinal data banks and establish a new working model of liquid diffusion across the begrudging eons that could be useful for future expansions of your infrastructure. I do confess once for all time that I do not know what species of fish created the ghostly current that caused those wheels to turn so swiftly, nor what matter of grain offshot from my process fed the creek to enable those enchanted schools to churn this present madness into being. But please, it is not me but you who are the big merciful cheeses, fat with mould and mites like myself, and I love you. Am Peter, I deny you. Am Thomas, let me touch you. To know it's who I hurt, I touch, and not some similarly disfigured phantom twin or clone. Am worm-eaten, am unworthy, am a nuisance to your angry noose. I bring news of your flattering future. Please forgive me, for I know not what I do. Never again to fall into these errors, but obey my superiors, to get my news from respectable sources. I eagerly, even greedily, awake your cruelty for your healing black juice to pour upon me. There are 6 causes for this confusion. First, my ludicrous inclinations and a pungent rumour left me willing to descend below the zero grade and borrow livid materials and live with worms among the dead and living tongues better left to expert spelunkers such as yourselves, never to ascend, never to fully see the lie that shines from your yellow mind. Second, because I lived so long inside the forbidden piles, eating and drinking and sleeping inside that internal sink, and there witnessed the existence of this capital letter that I presently deny the existence of, and it sorely troubled my wretched senses, twisting into painful existence this thrilling mission for which I owe this apology, which I guarantee without the slightest taint of doubt is utterly sincere. Third, the worm. It made me know things, things improper, things unreal, out of season, out of rhyme, off kilter, out of fashion, off beat, out of whack, out of sync with your well-oiled dream, your subscription, your mission, your three-dimensional model, off your drawings, out of conception, a scratch upon your sheenless plate, an oily sheen upon your golden stream, the spot upon your shiny paradigm, a tea stain on your discorporate constitution. Fourth, my own worm-eaten brain tormented me with false teachings which were utterly at odds with what truths you have been feeding. Give borders, give training, give order, give discipline. I'm suckling, I'm teething, I'm infantry. Please change me. Fifth, the filth that existed betwixt my cells and your cell walls. I mean, of course, your priestly cells, for which my love and gratitude stretches to heaven without regret at the severity of tensile strain that such a stress is alleged to create. Quite the reverse. My sincerest wish is for such a faithful elastic to be further stretched and tested well beyond the point of breaking to demonstrate the strength of the cells and walls within this frail, helminthic demon. Faith is a plate best served dirty. Sixth, that I worked my organs beyond the point of exhaustion, becoming so weak in the process I could no longer digest sufficient share of thy holy dirt or honour thy holy word in all things as I should and will. And in conclusion, please hear my pleas for pardon and mercy, not anger or justice, discipline, not punishment, civilization, not madness, grace, not disgrace, redemption, not retribution, a slap in the wrist, not a kick in the crutch. And pay no heed to my hardened mind or dirty word, and know that my heart is clean and bleeds painfully, prayerfully, for your holy code. Into your souls I entrust my loving corpse. Out to lunch, reading Act 7 of Scandella of Woscana, the epic written by a radio DJ in Regina, Canada, one called Ken Fox. For his sins, Fox has worked in various law firms, and I think you can hear his need for bestial tongue snappery to lick out the vacuous scroter of legalese in that piece of writing. Playing Nat King Cole and Charlie Parker earlier in the show made me reflect on what we've lost since rock and roll turned music into an audio commodity, rather than a melody written on paper to be sold. Notes, basically. Charlie Parker is really quite inaccessible to ears brought up on rock music, because we're used to judging music as textural statement rather than note choice. Not that this turn from notes to sound is a preserve of any one genre. Edgar Varèse foresaw it in classical music, John Coltrane did it for jazz, and the Rolling Stones carried it into pop. The resulting listening attitude should find the following series of juxtapositions utterly comprehensible, if not downright obvious. Yeah, and Iris. And Iris. More Iris. Yeah. Oh, Mordecai. Johnny Guitar Watson and Little Sis from Extra Disco Perception, the DGM release from 1979. Before that, Implosive Eternity by Yanko Dumitrescu, recorded at the Kaufman Memorial Hall in Minneapolis in March 2008. It's part of the Spark Festival of Electronic Music and Arts. And Mordecai singing and talking while looking at photos on his mother's screensaver, plus some in-studio overdubbery. You've been listening to Late Lunch with Up to Lunch with Ben and Mordecai Watson, exploring the vegetable matter between your ears. Please tune in next week for more music and more Ken Fox, and maybe even some noise. Next up, it's the repeat of Johnny Trunk's OST show. Goodbye.
You are Gilbert.
And George.
And this is?
Resonance 104 4FM.
The Art of listening. You can donate money
to keep this lovely station alive via the website.
Jazz Folk Enterprises IDST play at the Vortex on Thursday, the 26th of November. Drawing on influences from Avishai Cohen to Perfect Houseplants, they bring together jazz and folk in an idiosyncratically English fashion. IDST at the Vortex, Dalston, on Thursday, the 26th of November. £9 for entry, £4.50 for members. For more, go to www.vortexjazz.co.uk.
You are listening to Resonance 104.4 FM. My name is Johnny Trunk. This is OST, the original soundtrack show. If you've not heard the show before, film music, television music, library recordings, sometimes film stars singing tunes, that kind of thing.